far, far away, with a Jedi and a Sith and a smuggler's plate. Me R2 and Yoda, 3PO and Leia, Luke Vader and later Calophe Poray. Don't tell me the odds when I place on my bed. Who got the Chewbacca, there's no need to fret. Thrusters are primed and the coordinates set, then it's off with the heads like the name Jango Fett. I've seen these movies like 500 times. Han Solo shot first, ain't no changing my mind. One with the Force and the Force is with me, so of course I'm gonna see even if I go blind. I'm on this journey of trials and lessons, get lost in this wonder in a matter of seconds. Let's jump to light speed and tear through the heavens. Enjoy every minute, cause they're only legends.
What is up, Star Wars fans? Welcome back to another episode of They're Only Legends, the number one stop for all things related to a galaxy far, far away. My name is Tyler, with me as always my brother in the Force, Spencer. How we doing today, Spence?
Phenomenal, bro.
Me too. Me?
Great. Well,
am I? This is not a therapy podcast. It doesn't matter how I'm doing. We're talking about Star Wars today, and guess what? Spencer hates Star Wars.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he's like, we're not talking about Bad Batch today. We're just going to talk about Mando. I don't feel like talking about
Bad Batch. We got three episodes of Mando to talk about, man.
Yeah, we could have six episodes. We could be bringing a banger of an episode for everybody. I'm just kidding. I'm
bless
just
the listener's heart. They don't want to hear us talk for that long, dude.
That's true. I mean, people barely want to hear us talk as long as we talk now. So
yeah, but
with that being said, I just wanted to say because, you know, that's what we say. That's what we say.
That's what we do, baby.
We've got three episodes of The Mandalorian Season 3 to talk about, and I have been chomping at the bit to talk about it because, bro, actually, so I posed this question, and I in our texts to each other, right? And we have plans to bring good friend of the pod, Mike Kaminsky, onto the podcast to have, basically, I don't know if he's going to listen to this or not, but we're going to put him on trial. We're going to put him on trial because so if y'all are around for the Andor reviews and stuff like that, I know the first four episodes, I was like, man, this show sucks. But then I was like, this is a great show. By the end of it, I loved it. Mike loved it. You loved it. Everybody I talked to, for the most part, loved it. But the internet seemed to hate it, or at least a section of the internet that I was tuned into hated it. So I asked you, are we insane? Because I don't see what these people are seeing. So then You and I think like two or three episodes into the Mando season, we're like, bro, this is insane. We love this. This is awesome. I'm sitting in Discord with good friends of the podcast, Mike and Chelsea. And Mike goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to care about. Like, nothing really makes sense. And I just let him go. I let him kind of like rant about it. And I just kept quiet. And I was like, okay. And I never said anything to him after that. Well, in terms of Mando, we just moved on
to
keep going.
I need to hear his thoughts, bro.
So that's the thing is like we need to get him on. I talked to him. He was busy last time. Like he's releasing an EP soon. He just got done shooting a low budget music video last night. Hell yeah. So he's been kind of busy, but as soon as we've got time with him, we're going to bring him on and we're going to get his thoughts on it. But I pose the same question to you again. Are we insane? Because from I think our perspective, I feel pretty confident speaking for you in this moment, is like, this is kind of giving us everything that we want in terms of Mando lore, pardon the pun. You know what I mean?
So like, lore, yeah.
Yeah. That was actually not intentional. I'm pretty proud of that one. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I think I have one of those in here somewhere. I'm not going to click it, but oh, there it is. I don't know if that came through on your end, but
of course not.
Of course it didn't. But anyway, because like, yeah, man, I don't know. We'll probably get into it more when he gets on here, whenever that is. But I just don't know what people like. I could see people being like a little on the pacing of the first episode, but like, I'm loving this shit, dude.
Yeah, they're like, okay. I hate to say it, but like our fan base is still very much like divided, and I think people are kind of set in their ways. And I'm not saying Mike is one of these people, but I think people are kind of set in their ways of like,
this is 100% Mike, by the way.
Fuck Disney era Star Wars, which I don't think he is. There are things like he's very. he's somebody that knows storytelling and like can pick up on things that me, like somebody who considers myself a cinematic type person that like I dissect cinema and I love this shit and I try to pick up on nuances and themes. Like he can pick up these very like poetic nuances seemingly easy as shit.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy.
and say like, oh, this is good because this is reflective of this. And I'm just sitting there like, I get quiet during our conversations with them. So I'm like, this is fucking, I'm out of my league, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm out of my, why do I even have a show? You know what I mean? But so this is why I'm very curious to hear what he has to say about Mandalorian, because maybe we're just like, oh, bright lights and flashing, like just sitting there like, just let it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, alligator. Like,
actually, if just so everyone, transparency, the alligator is so far my least favorite part about the Mando. But
I did cheer when it fucking clapped little bird motherfucker. But
oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, my God. Dude. So, okay. Not to cut. I'll hold that thought. You keep going.
All I'm saying is, I'm very open to hear what people have to say. I honestly am so cemented in my view of Mando at this point. I don't think I could be dissuaded into thinking that any of the content that I've consumed, at least so far this season, has been non-enjoyable. I've heard people complain about pacing. It's either too fast or too slow. The first episode was a phenomenal piece of Mando. Like, not just Star Wars, but, like, Mando specifically. And I love how fast it was paced. It felt like a fucking comic book, and that's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. Just a fucking adventure. And we're so subtly, and, like, we're getting plot movement, whether anybody realizes it or not. Like, we have been to fucking Mandalore. We've seen Grogu now. How he came out of the Jedi Temple with Jar Jar Binks. We, there's just cool shit that's happening all the time. Like, I'm so curious into what's going on with Bo-Katan. And,
oh, dude.
Is she going to lead these people to, like...
Oh, dude.
Like, is there going to be a Mandalorian war? Like, another Mandalorian civil war to claim? Like, who fucking knows? Is Maul going to crawl out of the fucking sands of Tatooine and claim the dark... Who knows? I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
That would be awesome.
But it's probably going to be a Moff Gideon Bo-Katan showdown on Mandalore is kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen. But besides the point, like, I'm here for it, man. I'm excited to tune in every week. And, like, same with Bad Batch. Like, Bad Batch is fucking great. It's been great. It started off a little slow, and, like, we are very critical, especially when it comes to, like, I think animation. But I'm enjoying Bad Batch, man. I look forward to Bad Batch too. I watch Mando first, but usually late that night I'll throw on Bad Batch and enjoy it too. So I don't know, man. I don't think we're crazy. I am curious, like, if you're listening and you got very specific thoughts as to why Mandalorian or Bad Batch, why they aren't necessarily living up to what you think they could be, I'd be very curious to hear that. So you can send us an email or drop a DM or whatever, because I'm very curious about people's thoughts, because I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, dude, you beat me to it. I was just about to do it. that is something, like, one of the things that I've heard is, like, we are at the most recent episode, halfway point, right, of the season, and we don't have a reveal of who the, quote, big bad is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had, as we'll talk about a little later, we had a little sprinkling of information about Moff Gideon, right? We've seen the TIE interceptors and the TIE bombers on, I don't remember the name of the planet, but the planet that Bo had her castle on in the Mandalorian sector. So we know it's some sort of Imperial whatever. I think it's safe to assume it's Moff Gideon. People are wanting Thrawn real hard.
It's not going
to
happen.
Which it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I made an argument to you. I was like sort of listing all these things of reasons why it could be Thrawn doing that to Bo, but at the same time, you can switch out Thrawn's name with Moff Gideon's name, and all of the prerequisites still fit.
Sure.
Or the motivations or whatever still fit. And so it's like, it's probably Moff Gideon, but at this point, like, I almost feel like this show, or maybe specifically this season of this show, it doesn't need a big bad to tell a story, you know, because mm-mm. what I feel like they've done is that they've kind of set up this story where it's not necessarily about some overarching evil person trying to do a thing to our, you know, protagonist. It's kind of just showcasing multiple characters' struggles to achieve somewhat similar goals, you know, that being Bo wanting to bring, you know, have her people back, and Din wanting to be a part of his people, and their people kind of being the same people.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's kind of like the main struggle. And even though they haven't, so it's hard to say they haven't focused on it, because they have focused on it, but it hasn't been like right in the forefront, is that Darksaber, which, mm-hmm. you know, with the Mythosaur, probably Darksaber is a little irrelevant at this point. But like, we went into this season knowing that Din has a Darksaber, but he doesn't want it. Bo wants the Darksaber, but she can't just take it, which she can, but because of the whole Rebels thing. But I'm pretty sure I read something somewhere that, because that was one of the things that we were talking about, right? People are talking about, well, Bo took it in Rebels without a fight, and why can't she just do it now? Did Dave Filoni forget he wrote that? Is that an oversight? But I thought I saw something somewhere that said the Mandalorians didn't necessarily acknowledge her as ruler because they knew she didn't win it in combat.
I don't know. She lifted that bitch up and people chanted and cheered and shit. But
what we could know, or we could come to find out, is that there's that gap between then and now. And what if it was people started to think, you know what? She didn't win that thing in combat. She's not our true leader. And that's why she was so hell-bent on going to get it back from Moff Gideon, was because she was like, I need to win my people back by winning this in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she didn't want to just take it. Because if you think about it, if we jump back to the finale of season two, there's like six people on that bridge of that ship that would know about it. And not one of them, probably Moff Gideon, would say some shit. But thinking like, oh, he's going to jail, right? Like, no one's going to be like, hey, we're just going to snitch on Bo. And be like, you know, like no one would say anything if Din just handed it over, right? But she knew. And it's one of those things like, you know, you ever... You're having crazy thoughts?
So let him out. Let me interject. Not crazy, but like, what if Bo-Katan is realizing that although before she didn't, like, how do I word this? Before, the last time she ascended to the throne, she did so through, quote, non-traditional measures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by accepting the Darksaber without winning it in combat, she then became ruler of Mandalore, and her empire quickly crumbled. Very quickly.
Mm.
Crumbled out from underneath her. And maybe part of what we're witnessing now, especially in regards to her coming with what she's been resistant against as like a cult, and now she's this is the way, and like, how do you people eat without taking, like, she's really trying to make a concerted effort. Maybe now we're seeing this kind of, this series of Bo-Katan realizing the way I can truly rule is by doing things with more tradition. What's more traditional in riding a Mythosaur? I don't want to accept this Darksaber, because the last time I accepted this Darksaber without winning it in combat, I felt my like my siege was, or my rule was sieged out from underneath me, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe she feels that by approaching it with all respect and everything intact and doing things the way that they're supposed to be done, as, you know, in tradition of Mandalore, that she will be more deserving of it and will be able to actually rule long term and rebuild her planet.
So I like that. I like that. And here's what I love about this concept of them having her, you know, bathe in the living waters and have yet to remove her helmet, and now she's accepted by the children of the watch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so, you know, I know we're skipping ahead a bunch, but after they come out of the waters and they're flying back, you know, Din says, you know, this is the way to her, talking about, I can't remember what he said to her in the moment, and she just kind of turns back to the looking out the window, and she says, this is the way. And to me, that felt like almost sarcastic, right? She's like, this is the way, you know, but she didn't say it like that. But like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't give two fucks about this. And you're
audio
saying
audio wise,
so,
I just did a jerking off motion.
Yes. Yes. It was very vulgar and I'm offended. But then it's not until later in the most recent episode where she actually says it back to somebody. I think it was the armorer, or maybe it was somebody from the watch. But like when she gets accepted, right? When they all start patting her on the shoulder.
It was the very end after she rescued the foundling or the youngling or whatever. And she's like, this is the highest honor you can have with us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way, is what she said. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So what I love, one of the things I love about them doing that is like, so like they're all very good at being able to convey emotion with a helmet on, right? You can't see their face.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I love about them not showing them their face to do it is that we don't know exactly what she's doing, you know?
Yeah.
So on one hand, she could be doing exactly what you're talking about, where she's like, you know what? I'm like, I need to go back to the, like, if I want to actually rule properly, there might be something to this, like, old ways bullshit. Mm-hmm. I need to fall back into it. Or she's like, if I just show these people that I am a part of this, and then I do go get this mythosaur, they will follow me. And then when the rest of the Mandalorians who are scattered about the galaxy, who used to follow her, see that she has reverted back to the old ways, quote, old ways, and has all of these people following her, and she has a mythosaur, they're going to be like, oh, and like maybe that's her plan. It's like it's a power grab, but it's not like, it's like almost like Sidious levels of like plotting, you know what I mean? Yeah. Granted, that's he's a master of plotting shit, so like I'm not trying to give her that much credit, but like you know what I'm saying. So it's like, it's great because we don't know what she's doing, and it
instead
could
of
easily
the Phantom
be
Menace,
either
she's
of
like the Master Menace of just like,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, like exactly. Her intentions are kind of clear and like you assume you know what they are, but she can hide it very well.
Yeah. So so it's like, in my opinion, it's either one of these two things. You know, she's either on board or she's using them and playing them. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Which I really hope it's the former. I hope that she's like, because when we meet her, right, and she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill Din Djarin or whatever, she was on that vibe. I'm going to go end this once and for all, and ends up going and fucking saving him. But like, right. Which might have just been like, if I end it now, I can get that fucking Darksaber. But maybe through rescuing him and through going to the clan, and she is obviously craving that camaraderie, that these are my people. She was alone in that castle, but now she literally doesn't have that to go back to. She doesn't have a home. Her home mm-hmm. was destroyed. So... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but she's been to Mandalore and knows that it's livable, despite it being...
But it's in shambles.
It's in shambles.
Yeah.
But their home world is livable, you know? And, mm-hmm. like, you can rebuild. We'll rebuild. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
That was... Was that an Obama? Was that an accidental Obama impression? In my head?
We have hope.
Yeah. We will rebuild. And
I love it.
Yeah. My fellow Americans.
Mandalorians.
My fellow Mandalorians. In this face of tragedy, we will rebuild.
That's right. Hell yeah.
Anyway, so I mean, if they don't, I'm telling you right now, I know he's not exactly like, he doesn't exactly look like Obama, but like, I would vote for Giancarlo to be,
oh my god,
Obama in a biopic or something, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. I can see absolutely that. For mm-hmm. sure.
Anyway.
God, he's a fly motherfucker. We follow him. Our show's page follows him on Instagram. And what a fun dude. This guy's up at cons, like, posting pictures he takes with every... I'm sure he's got somebody doing it for him. But, mm-hmm. like he's just out and about doing shit. This motherfucker's always smiling. He's doing fucking insurance commercials and mm-hmm. voiceovers and Far Cry. Like, he's just busy, bro. I love Giancarlo Esposito. I think he's a classy dude.
That just got me thinking. People were like, oh, Moff Gideon has to be in this because he was at the premiere. Or maybe they didn't say that. Maybe you just mentioned he was at the premiere, so we might see him. Yeah. But then again, so was Mercedes Renato. Sasha Banks. She was there, too, at the premiere. And
she could definitely be in this. Why wouldn't she be?
Well, she said that, that could have been.
We're having a regroup of everybody on Mandalore.
Well, there was a lot of the cast was leaked, and she wasn't a part of that. And she also said that she didn't film anything with them, and she would love to go back into Star Wars if they let her. But then again, it's Disney. They're in Star Wars, they like to keep things under wraps when they want to. So
it sounds like something a person like would say. If, like, you know,
when did they film this stuff?
I don't know.
Do you remember? You don't know?
No.
I'm trying to think because I've been keeping up with wrestling for the last year, like every week, and I'm pretty sure she was around for pretty much the whole time. Doesn't mean she wasn't a part of filming. She could have easily done it in between shows. But anyway, so let's kind of just hop into this. Sure. We got three episodes to talk about. I know we've jumped around a bunch.
But
I just want to say one last thing is that you said you hope it's the former where Bo is adopting the old ways. I hope it's the latter. I hope it's a con, dude. I do.
Here's the thing is we have Filoni and Favreau on this. So there are going to be surprises. The fact that we're being so spoon-fed that Moff Gideon's going to be the big bad likely means that there's going to be a surprise in that realm. I do like that we don't really know Bo-Katan's intentions. I think it'd be cool for her to, like, chum up and, like, there was the final rise of Bo-Katan that we get to see. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, twists and turns, baby. It's Star Wars. It's Filoni. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But obviously I'm here for conflict. I think going into it, we had kind of just assumed that, oh, Bo-Katan's going to be a primary antagonist throughout the season. Like, she's going to challenge Din Djarin. She's going to do everything she can to fight and claw her way to the top of the food chain of Mandalore. And I don't know, man. Like, I do enjoy the safety feeling of, like, her getting chummy with the children of the Watch. And I do think that very much so that she has shown throughout the last couple episodes that, like, oh, like, by following this tradition and by, you know, going and seeing how much these people respect my culture that I want to rule, and, like, these are the most devoted people, and if I truly am deserving of the title of Mandalore, like, these people would be loyal to me, and they wouldn't just go off and become mercenaries if I proved that I couldn't do whatever. Like, these people would be loyal. And I do kind of hope that she is realizing that, but, like we don't know. Shit.
Yeah, we don't. We don't know. But I'm really hoping that she is trying to con them over, because that'd be super interesting. And, like
Bo-Katan villain shit, I'm here for it too. Whatever.
I mean, she was, like, straight up when she thought Din was coming back, when it was actually Grogu in the N1, she was like, let's finish this once and for all. I think she was going out there to challenge him. I don't think she was going out there to kill him. I think she was just going out there to challenge him. I don't think she wanted him dead. I think she just wanted that Darksaber back, and she was like, I told him not to come back, and he's back, so I'm just going to go get this over with. Either I'm going to challenge him and lose, or I'm going to challenge him and win, and it'll be over either way. If I can't beat him, I don't get the saber. If I do beat him, it's mine. And then she's like, oh, he's trapped? Well, let's go to Mandalore. Yeah. Let's go see with my own eyes what this planet looks like, and then maybe I can get it from him too. But at the same time, her, like, and this is perfect. Let's jump right into the first one that we have to talk about, which is The Minds of Mandalore, where we see exactly what we're talking about. If you want to go ahead and take point on this.
Sure. So it starts off with Din Djarin and Grogu. They go to Tatooine to visit Pelimoto because when we see them last time, we figure out, oh, they need a IG processor or memory unit or whatever.
I totally forgot on that.
So Pelimoto's all chummy with the Jawas, which yeah. is a plot line that they've completely just, you know, moved away from. Remember, I had that theory. I'm like, he's going to find fucking Boba Fett. He needs this IG unit. And like, I mean, not a theory, but like just speculation.
Oh, shit. You're right.
But she's not able to get that part. But instead, she offers up the R5 unit, which we are meant to assume, I think, that it's the R5 unit from A New Hope, the one that in Legends has force powers and corrupted itself so that because it knew R2 needed to go on that mission with Luke.
Well, so like. It's Legends, so it doesn't count. You know what I mean?
They're
like,
only Legends, baby.
Legends don't matter at all, ever.
But I'm saying droid.
If Disney says that it's not canon, then we might as well just forget it ever happened, you know? Man. I'm kidding. I'm just trying
this
to trigger
poor
people.
Show.
I'm trying to trigger people. I know. I know. You're just petting that they're only Legends. Like, we don't even talk about Legends. No, I'm fucking around. But we do know it's the same one.
Try to insert it.
I know. We do know it's the same one, though. Because... In New Hope, you see it, you know, and then yeah. when we first see it in Mando, it's the repaired thing. Anyway,
there's a post way back on our IG timeline where I put the two pictures of them side by side up against each other. So of the little smoke hole. But man, she cleaned the shit up out that droid and they sent their way off to Mandalore.
He finally
arrived on the surface, which did that R5 unit. He basically popped that bitch out. R5 looked so good, like so clean. Like I loved that. I had a little R5 action figure, like three quarter inch scale when I was a kid, and like the head split open and all this stuff. I don't know if you have the same one.
No, but I just remembered I was supposed to tell you something. My coworker Merrick, he has a toy from his grandmother that's at his grandmother's house. What? It's original from right after the release of A New Hope. It's an original R2-D2 with the controller and the cable. Not in the box still, but like he has one, the OG R2. And you have it? People have been offering like $3,000 to his grandma for it.
Yeah,
and
I have one in storage. No.
That's insane. I had
a coworker who brought it to work one day. It was like, this is just in my garage. And it's from, I think, I don't know. Actually, it might not be A New Hope because I think it's 1979. But it's literally in styrofoam and it's got the little controller. It might not be wired. I'm pretty sure it's a battery. But that's sick. That's hella cool. Fucking $3,000.
Not to derail everything, but like,
no. That's dope. I can't wait till eventually when Jade and I move and I can get all my shit out and like have everything on display. Cause like, I forget the shit that I own. I forgot until you just said that. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I have that. That's sick, dude. That's hella cool.
But anyway, R5 looked great.
Anyways, they land on Mandalore. R5 looks great. He sends them off to scout and they realize the air is breathable. It's safe. And they decide, fuck it, let's go into some mines. And immediately they're captured by when they get deeper into the mines, they're captured by the spider-like droid creature with the eye.
Like Grievous. Looked like Grievous, kind of.
I don't know if it was kind of like the Bomar monks? Is that what they're called?
Kinda. But they had just the brain floating, I thought.
Yeah, this thing just had an eye, but that's the only...
Yeah, it was just like, you could just see like the eye with like the eyebrow and the upper cheek.
Yeah, it looked like zoomed in. Yeah.
Yeah, it was looking around everywhere. That shit was creepy, dude.
It's hella cool. Super great. And it's cool that it had like a spider body, but also like an additional smaller body.
Well, right? it was like that portion would detach and then it would be little spider legs and it would like put itself in that spider body and then the walk around body and then we later see like basically a mech, you know, that it was in.
I wonder if we're gonna get a toy of that because that'd be sick.
That would be really cool.
If I see a 3¾-inch one of those, I'm copping that because that thing was cool. Cool Star Wars design, bro. But yeah, that thing gets captured and he takes Din Djarin down to his kink dungeon and puts him in his BDSM cage and fucking rotisseries him and
starts injecting him with something.
Yeah, he starts injecting him with shit and then
he's like, I don't know what he was doing, dude. He was like draining him of his blood or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, it was weird.
Plasma or something? I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
Is that a thing in Star Wars? I don't know if they're...
I don't know.
They look like us, but they could be different, I guess.
Yeah, they could be.
But Grogu gets sent off to go get Bo-Katan. So mm-hmm. his ass just... The egg just shoots off.
Just
takes
zooming.
Goes to Bo-Katan. We talked about this. Bo-Katan's like, what the fuck?
You completely glossed over the part where one of those things comes down. And then that's when from the trailer where we see he gets force pushed out. And mm-hmm. then Grogu comes out. And then he literally flips into the N1.
Launched that thing out the cave.
Yeah.
All you see is the view of the dark cave entrance and just the thing come flying out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
It was so cool. And then to see Grogu being like using his abilities like so freely. Yeah. Like to go back to what we talked about more recently of like Favreau confirming that Grogu spent 2 years with Luke. Mm-hmm. It's like it's showing, you know.
For sure. I think it's funny to jump ahead two episodes when they're sitting on the beach and it mm-hmm. looks like he's using the force to move around the rocks and it ends up being a bunch of crabs.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, is he moving these rocks? It's like, nope, they're just, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, rock crabs.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
But yeah, he goes and gets Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan comes back and Bo-Katan's like very gentle with him and even like she makes comments like, you know, like I've served with a Jedi or whatever the fuck she says. What does she say? Jedi and Mandalorians were great friends too, or something like that.
Yeah.
But fucking Grogu leads Bo-Katan to Din down there.
Yeah.
And
that's when we saw that part of her like being like, let's end this once and for all. But then they start flying over. And like when she comes in and sees Mandalore, you know,
mm-hmm.
she's home again. And she mm-hmm. sees like, she sees what they did to her place, you know?
Yeah. She makes that comment. It didn't always look like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they go down there and she is a fucking badass and just kills the fuck out that spider.
On their way down there, right? They're like, you know, Grogu has these, you know, he has the force, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, he's like, sorry, I was just emphasizing that. It was obviously, we know he's force sensitive. So he's going through, right? And he keeps having these connections. Like he keeps sensing all the animals.
Spidey sense, yeah.
Yeah. And he's seeing like those little mini lizard gator things that want to kill him, that want to eat him, and he's all worried about him. And Bo's just walking. Both Din and Bo were just walking the whole time. They don't really care. But he's all like, "Oh no," you know.
Yeah, he knows there's danger.
But
yeah.
I love like he's like floating behind her, and she like stops the thing, and she looks up, and you can see the movement in the ceiling. And so she like pushes him back and shoots the ceiling and the more of those like alien things with four arms or whatever come out. Like is it Machomp and Machamp or whatever from?
Oh, from Pokemon?
From Pokemon.
Yeah.
And she handles them. She handles them. Does she have the, when does she have the Darksaber?
When
she gets down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just like seeing her with both guns out and just her in action, like Din, it's not that like Din is good at what he does, but Bo is a warrior and it's evident, you know, like she
handles that Darksaber flawlessly, better than we've ever seen anyone handle that live action.
Dude, legit. Like she, I'm not going to say she's got Luke Skywalker saber abilities. Cause like she doesn't, but she's very proficient with that Darksaber.
She was single-handing it, right?
Yeah. She
like
didn't
before
have to
everyone else is like heavy and forcing it, but like, she's just like
both Din and Paz are like two hand, like mm-hmm. it's a broadsword, and mm-hmm. and like I think maybe you and I were chatting about it on like the Zoom call or not call but message or whatever, and it's like I'm still unsure on whether it's the Darksaber being like Mjolnir and being like you're worthy, or if it's just like she understands that you have to be one with the saber. And let it do its work instead of trying to control it. And like I feel like it's more of that than it is the former.
You
got to
work
like,
with it, not
yeah,
against
you are,
it.
You are one unit, not mm-hmm. using it as a tool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to see her just fucking slicing and dicing and handling that thing, like, it was awesome to see. And like when I saw that, I go, that's her saber. Like, mm-hmm. she deserves that saber.
Yeah,
you know?
But speaking of that being her saber, the next scene we get is after she fights off all the threats, they wake up, they're kind of overlooking the distraught, capsulized city under there.
Yeah.
But Din wakes up, and she's got all this shit laid out on the rock beside him, one of which is being the Darksaber. And it kind of closes in on that as he attaches it, and she's just kind of straight face about it. And then they have their little pog soup shit. And she agrees to go help him get down to the mines of Mandalore. She's like, we used to do it as a little girl all the time. It was more ceremonial. It was more for the people, you know, rather than anything. We don't actually believe that it's anything crazy down there.
It was both a combination of her, like, explaining to Din that this had no significance outside of optics.
Yeah.
At the same time, she's reminiscing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a cool moment of her just kind of taking, like, watching her kind of take that trip back down memory lane.
Yeah.
While at the same time trying to convince Din, like she thinks, I think at this point, I feel like the way she was talking was like, she's like, okay, he's here. I can tell him all the things. He's going to see that this is all silly. Meanwhile, he's no selling it. He's like, the living waters are right in front of me. I know what I must do.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Sorry, no. when they get into the cave, like, she's very, like, ceremonious about it, and, like, reads the plaque on the wall, and it's kind of like huffing it up, but you can tell, like, it's she's reminiscing. It's very nostalgic or whatever for her. And then
he goes in the water
just to get through the rest of the episode. Steps in the water. I felt like he was pulled down, but from what I've heard, it's just the Beskar being weighted down because the bottom of it didn't used to be deep, but now it's deep as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the Beskar weighed him down as much as it is just like he slipped.
He's got full Beskar. You know what I mean?
I think he was just like, yeah, but that's like the thing is, like, he's got full Beskar, but like he wears that shit everywhere.
And he should have been able, but he wasn't wearing a jetpack, was he? She was.
No,
did
he
take it off before getting it in?
He might have taken it off on his way there, actually, yeah. So maybe that was what it was, is that... Because, like, you know, we were like, oh, something pulled him in, and then the next time they talk, he mentions, you know, I didn't know what was happening, and, like, I was walking in and I fell, you know?
Yeah.
But then goes unconscious.
Then, yeah, it was just, I thought, maybe, I don't know, that felt weird to me. I need to go back. I've watched it twice,
well,
but I want to go back and watch
it. Well,
actually,
if you think about it, Bo hits the X on her helmet, then dives in. Din fell in so quick, he didn't have time to seal that shit.
Sure.
And so, like, it was probably full of water anyway.
A bunch of water.
Yeah. And didn't see shit, but she saw on the way back up, she sees the Mythosaur. We see the Mythosaur. It's alive. We see its eye. It moves, I'm pretty sure. As she's going back up, I'm pretty sure it turns its head and, like, begins to move. So we know that... You know, jumping to the next episode, she talks about the floor probably was broken from seismic activity after the purge, which means that there's probably been a Mythosaur living in the planet, which apparently it's a amphibious character. I thought it was a fucking woolly mammoth, but it's chilling under the water. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. Yeah, I was thinking more like Rancor with horns type of shit, but like,
yeah.
Real quick before we move into the next episode, I gotta go pee real quick. So
okay. I will cut this out or keep talking. We'll see. You'll know. Right. This motherfucker. Goddamn kidney stones. He's drinking 64 ounces of water a day. This guy's trying to be healthy. But yeah, I don't know, guys. Like, I don't know about you, but when I saw that Mythosaur and the way she looked at it, I was with everybody else thinking, like, Mythosaurs aren't real. And the fact that there is one, I'd be interested to know, again, I know Spencer already threw it out there, like, leave a message on one of the socials or whatever, we want to hear your opinion, but, like, the fact that one was living there the whole time, I wonder, it makes me think that the Mandalorians knew that there was a Mythosaur there. But on the other hand, I think, wouldn't the Mandalorians want to flaunt that shit? So, like, which clan was it that knew about it and was hiding it? And it's very possible that, like, you know, it predates, like, even the Kree's clan of, like, you know, they knew about the Mythosaur and then didn't tell no one when the next clan came in because they didn't want them to actually rule it. I was just saying that... Spencer's back. I was just saying that, like, I wonder if at what point, like, obviously the Mythosaur's been there, right? So I wonder, did the Mythosaur live in the living waters the whole time? Or did it come out during the, you know, the seismic activity after the purge? But like what I was saying was like, did the rulers of the clans know the Mythosaur existed still? Or was it one of those things where like whichever clan that was in charge long ago, that like predating the Kree's clan and shit, like did they know the Mythosaur existed? But then they, you know how like there's the like there's that black book that the US presidents get allegedly, and they get to hear about all the things. Like, is that one of the things that did that just get left out of the black book that moved on to the next ruling clan because they didn't want them to actually be the true leaders of the Mandalore, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, who knew about it last? Who did it die with? You know, who did the knowledge die with?
Do you think it's they reproduce, or do you think that's the same Mythosaur that got tamed down there to begin with?
So
maybe they're an eternal creature.
Or just like, maybe. Maybe they live to be like 1,000 or some shit. That's why
it's down there without having to like reproduce over millennia.
It could be that. It could be like Godzilla 1998, where it just, it's asexual and it reproduces on its own, which it's Star Wars. We don't need all the science to know exactly why. Or it could be the same one. People get
pregnant through kissing, so.
Yeah, that's what I was told anyway. or it could be like the same one. And so I would be willing to bet that it's the same one, because if the end goal is to have Bo ride that thing, we've got 4 episodes left. And that's not even saying we're going to see her ride it in this episode or this season, but like it'd be a lot easier to explain or to tell the story if it was already tamed and it's just waiting for another, you know, Mandalorian to come by and be like, hey, big fella, you know, and because like it didn't go after them. It looked at her, you know, unless it just wasn't hungry because there's a bunch of shit living in those waters. You know, maybe it was hibernating. Who knows?
Or it's an eternal beast that doesn't need to eat.
Or it's an eternal magical beast. You know, it could be either of those things. But I think it would be easier to tell the story if it was the same one. And they didn't, and like whoever tamed it last, depends on the prophecy and all that shit when it was made. But like whoever tamed it last was like, oh, it's gone. And really it was just waiting somewhere.
They were fucking Harry and the Henderson-ing it down the fucking waters.
Stay. But like it could be that, you know, it could be just the thing where like we don't want anybody else being the true leaders of Mandalore.
Yeah.
But dude, before, okay, so we're going to talk about the next episode here. I just wanted to say I've been peeking at the director list for the next 4 episodes. The next episode is directed by Peter Ramsey, and I don't know if he did anything else this season, but he did Into the Spider-Verse. So I'm excited about that. But there's only one for writing and stuff, so like after that we got Bryce Dallas Howard, and then we got Rick Fumiyawa, based off of where the letters are positioned. I'm assuming that's how you say it, but that's not always a safe assumption. And then the last one is also Rick, but second to last episode is written by Dave and John, and John's the only credit for the writing of the other three. It's the only episode this season that has Dave on the writing list, second to last episode, which means. If we can go off of history, whenever Dave writes some shit, some of his shit's involved, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Clone Wars shit. So, granted, Bo has been on all these, but, like, is it Thrawn? Is it Ahsoka?
I hope not.
Is it the Bad Batch?
Save that for Ahsoka. I want a reason to, like, want, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it's going to be Ahsoka. But... it makes me like
if antsy. If it's Thrawn, mention Thrawn, or be like Moff Gideon, be like I was working with an undisclosed person. I was also thinking, what's the was it Yalamari? I had it written down. The Salamir, the force sucking lizard from Legends. It'd be kind of cool if like Moff Gideon.
Not even from Legends, dude. That shit's like in Rebels. When we see Thrawn, he has paintings or engravings of those on his wall behind him.
But he didn't actually have them there.
But they exist because we know what they are.
He used them against Luke Skywalker and Mara Jade and the original trilogy.
Does he not Dawn have trilogy. Them in the other trilogies that are considered canon now? I don't know. I don't remember.
I haven't read either of them. They're up there.
Mine are over there. waiting to be opened for the first time.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, I wonder if like Moff Gideon would show up like rocking one of those around his neck to like challenge Din Djarin once and for all and not have Grogu interfere.
Get involved, yeah.
Uh-huh. And be like, I got this from an undisclosed person or whatever. And then something like that would be kind of cool. And real quick before we move on, because we do have quite a bit to talk about, not a whole lot of time.
I was wrong. Dave also wrote the most recent one. He helped write the most recent one.
The last one we're going to talk about?
The Foundling. Yeah, sorry. I should say most recent as of the recording. Chapter 20. The Foundling.
Okay.
But yeah, so I guess it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Wait,
real quick before we move to the convert.
Yeah.
Well,
we're not even on the convert
yet. Do you think they're going to do the... Yeah, Boba Fett riding in on a Rancor thing to save the day, or do you like? I feel like they're setting it up to think that that's going to happen.
I think it'd
be crazy if the Empire's there and then the Mandalorians are fighting them, and Bo-Katan comes ripping through the floor on a fucking mythosaur. Like, I just don't think they're going to go with that.
No,
that feels too on the nose.
I think that will be like a. You know how we had end of season 2, we had Boba going into the palace and then taking the throne to set up Book of Boba Fett? I wouldn't doubt it if, like, post-credits finale, we see Bo walking into the living waters and, like, the mythosaur rising up out of them and it cuts. You know what I mean? Like, I could see some shit like
that.
I
love that.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that would be like the you know, with her, like the shot would be like from the stairs and you see her standing there and the mythosaur just the head just starts to rise out of the water in front of her and then it just black. Like that would be perfect, you know, because then it sets up a reason to come back for season 4 for her anyway.
I
think that would be like a cool way to do it.
You don't think we're going to get any more mythosaur or like not you think, but like with no, that I, theory we wouldn't see.
Yeah, well, because I think so. Okay, going to the convert, right? So she. Let's separate the. Never mind. So the convert was the one. I'm confusing the episodes now. Was the
convert
most recent
the Dr. Pershing episode? That's the second to last episode. So we're gonna fly. Yeah, yeah. So convert.
Let's just split those two. So with the Bo shit, Bo and Din, the convert, right?
That's when they wake up. She's got the pog soup.
Yeah, yeah. So they talk about that shit.
Any Mandalorian worth its weight in Beskar had the pog soup. And then now Star Wars is trying to say that there's a recipe for it.
I haven't even paid attention to any of that. We never got
Cyril Karn cereal, did we?
No, we should have. I probably would have bought a box.
I definitely would have bought a box.
Yeah, they probably should have just done a deal with Captain Crunch, honestly. Yeah.
I got Crunchberries on my fridge right now.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, yeah, so we get the whole thing with the, you know, the Darksaber. They go down.
What?
I'm trying to think. Did the convert shit be the Mythosaur was in the convert episode or the one prior?
You know, I've got show notes up.
I'm not reading them. There's too many words, dude.
All right. So, literally, it starts, the convert starts with the Bo-Katan scene of, like, right after Mando was pulled from the water.
Yep,
I remember. Him waking up, being like, did you see anything alive? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but that was a little on the nose. And he's like, no, I didn't see shit.
Yeah, and he just moved, like, he didn't question that or anything, just moved on. Mm-hmm.
They go to her home planet, and that's when...
They're on her home. Oh, no. That is when they have the whole shootout, huh?
Yeah, that's when they have the shootout. So they go back to the home planet, and,
fucking
like, they're on
awesome
their way.
TIE fighter scene. God damn it.
And Grogu is like, in like he knows they're there before the scopes go off, because he starts to like coo, like make some noises or whatever, and like look around, and then boom, interceptors, you know. So they haul ass, you know, back down there. He's got to eject out to be able to get to the N1, and
so sick.
It was such a good
Mission Impossible laying down to his fucking ship. Yeah.
Just hitting that jetpack at the last second to slow his fall, and then hops in it, you know, and then takes out. It was just to see the N1, and she flies a Fang fighter, right? I believe that's what it's called.
I don't know.
Hers is called something specific, I think.
Man, but
I think
him dropping in the fucking N1 and it immediately being gone. Just like,
dude,
immediately.
Just from a flat landing spot to straight up in the air. That thing was gone, dude. Which, seeing this scene makes me so sad about the Rogue Squadron movie not being a thing. Like Top Gun in Star Wars. I need that.
So sick.
Figure everything out, Kathleen. Jesus. Bring it to us.
Yeah. He even mentioned a Pelimoto in the last episode. She's like, how's the ship? He's like, it's more ship than I know what to do with. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So her ship's name is her ship's name is the Gauntlet.
Okay.
It's a Comarch class fighter transport.
Hell yeah, I believe you.
According to Google. Which
that's also a sick ship. The way it like fins up and lands down. It's a cool ship.
It's a cool ship.
As a Lambda fan, I love converting ships like that. That kind of live and maneuver.
What ship that like is cool, but like I don't really like is the one from Jedi Fallen Order. Like the concept.
The Mantis.
The Mantis. The concept of that wing like rotating to get the engine to lock in a certain way for landing and then coming back up is kind of cool.
It's B-wing style.
Yeah, but I hate the design. I just feel like it's weird looking. I don't care about physics wise. Like, there's no such thing as physics in Star Wars to me.
It's kind of the same thing of like the Millennium Falcon. Like, it's weird that the cockpit's over here, because if you're spinning the Millennium Falcon, you're either going way out or you're in a tight circle. Like, it's kind of a weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I try not to think about it. But yeah, so they have this. They have the fight scene, and then they're like, as soon as they get done with it, explosions in the distance. And Bo knows what it is. They fly over. There's just a squad of TIE bombers that didn't show up on their scopes for some reason. And then just blowing the shit up out of her castle. And that's her last home. You know? Yeah. Like the last place that she can call home. And she's like, no. You know? And they fly over there. And she's just fucking... She sees red, dude.
Yeah.
And so she's like chasing these fucking TIE bombers. She launches. And I love that scene when she just locks onto one and shoots it. And you just see the... And the smoke or just the whatever, and it blows up one of them.
Yeah.
And then they see all and you know, Din's in that. He's like, but we've got company. We got more. And it's just
and they're
dozens
gang of them.
Of just interceptors flying towards them. And she's like, I'm about to die over this shit. And he's like, he flies in front of her and peels off to like distract her. And so then she peels off, and then they set the coordinates for wherever the children of the watch are chilling. And so they jump there, and we're just going to skip the Pershing stuff for right now. We'll get to it in a second. But, like, they get to the hidey hole, right? And that's when she, like, they walk in. And I was really hoping for, like, more tension between Bo and Paz. Being a Kreese and a Vizsla, I was really hoping that there'd be like some, like a lot more like shade thrown at each other. It was really just Paz being.
What do
like,
you want, Night Owl?
Night Owl, yeah,
yeah.
And so they go in, and she, you know, Din proves that he's got the living waters, and we find out, you know, that the Children of the Watch, as long as you follow the creed, are really open to having people come in, despite how they felt about Bo-Katan before. Now that she's been reborn from the living waters, essentially, they're like, you are now a child of the watch, and you are considered one of us as long as your helmet is still on, and you are free to leave at any time. But until then, this is the way, you know? And it's like, that was really cool. And so then everybody starts patting her on the shoulder. She doesn't say it back, right? You know, she doesn't say it back, but they're patting her on the shoulder, and Din's like, you know, shaking everyone's hand, and like, you know, he's happy to be reaccepted again. And the whole time
he brought the sample of the living water. It was proven that Mandalore. So they're also kind of celebrating that too, of like,
yeah, like, hey, might be able to go home.
Yeah.
There's a lot of serotonin that is.
I don't know how many of them are actually from Mandalore, but concepts is the same.
Not a lot, probably. But then the whole time all this is happening, Bo is focused on one thing, and that is the Beskar Mythosaur
yep.
head on the wall. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she knows it's there and she wants that thing. And she, and, yeah. and I think, and that's like the first moment when she realizes, like, with how true to the old ways this group is, if I get that Mythosaur,
yeah,
these people will follow me anywhere, mm-hmm. you know? So then the Pershing stuff happened in between, which, so
I can't, no, let me fly through the Pershing stuff. Let me just say it real quick. And yeah, then we can give our thoughts on it. And I'm not even going to reference this. I just don't want to fucking sit here. I'm ADHD, dude. Dr. Pershing. We know Dr. Pershing. He was sorry the dude that. Working with the Imperial Remnant that was trying to capture Grogu. He was like, no, wait, no, it's just a kid, blah, blah, blah. Gets stunned and fucking whatever. He has now joined the New Republic. And he is a, not defacted, but a reformed Imperial soldier. And he gets put basically in a housing group with a bunch of other former Imperials, and one of which is what's her name, Aliyah Kane,
sure,
who was on Moff Gideon's ship. They form kind of this bond. She gives him the Star Destroyer yellow cookies, and then she's like, you should really continue your research. Your research was important. It would help the New Republic, and kind of convinces him. And the New Republic has been kind of pushing back, like, no, we're just going to destroy all this Imperial shit because it's Imperial and we don't need it. Mm-hmm. But he decides, you know what? Like, it really would help the New Republic. I would really like to continue it. So Aliyah and him travel to a downed Imperial Star Destroyer so he can get some lab tech. And upon doing that, they leave. He's got a little case full of stuff that he's going to be able to kind of set up a little lab in his apartment at home. And mm-hmm. they're surrounded by New Republic soldiers. Aliyah kind of turned on him, framed him. He gets taken to a lab where he's hooked up to what is essentially a mind flayer, a la Stranger Things. And she sits there and cranks that shit up. And we don't really know whether she is just as deathly loyal to the New Republic as she was to Moff Gideon, or if she's still loyal to Moff Gideon and doing that to him because he is a traitor of Moff Gideon.
Right.
That's that whole 45 minutes.
Yeah. Which could have been 15, but I still enjoyed
the Coruscant Fair was really cool. The Peak of the Mountain.
Yeah, they played.
You messaged me about some of the music notes they were playing.
Yeah, the music in the background was the clones theme, which yeah. I thought was a good touch, yeah. given that he's a cloning scientist. I don't know, man. I think I'm not like a lot of people are like, oh man, this was a waste. You know, why is there so much filler? But like, I don't know, man. Like I think it's important, you know, to see all that, and you know, it sets up. It's kind of like, you know,
I breezed through it because I thought it was filler. I breezed through it because it was really easy to breeze through.
And yeah, no.
I don't think I missed anything.
No, you're right. Right. I mean, other than some context, but no, as far as hitting the beats, like you're right. But like,
and I only watched it once.
Yeah, I think I watched it 2.5 times. But yeah, it's just like, it's showing that the New Republic is very reminiscent of what the United States and a lot of other places did with mm-hmm. the Nazi scientists. Like mm-hmm. NASA was founded by a Nazi scientist, you know?
I work for Volkswagen, dude. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so it's like, it's the same concept of like,
sure.
like in terms of the technology per se, they don't want it, but the people that were responsible for the technology, they're like, you work for us now.
Yeah.
I think that she's very much still, I think she's a sleeper agent, and I wouldn't doubt it if there's still, not even sleeper agent, she's just being a sneaky spy. And I wouldn't doubt it if there are still some like Empire loyalists that are in there, because
technically anybody still associated with the Empire is an Empire loyalist, because the Empire is dead.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Like, yeah. So they're all loyalists.
Yeah, and it was cool to see the opera again.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
In the beginning, mm-hmm. when he's there talking,
it was the same steps that Anakin went up that he came back down after giving his speech. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about not necessarily cloning, but strain casting, and they were kind of explaining, mm-hmm. which, you know. Kind of a roundabout way of explaining what happened, or how Snoke and Palpatine and all that shit happened by taking multiple strands of DNA to create a new being. And so, yeah, I think that was it was important to see. Did it have to be 30 minutes long? No. But I think at the same time, it could be more like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It could have been.
Sorry. We have apparently a cat stuck very high up in a tree right outside of our house. Oh, not our cat,
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Jay's like, do I call the fire department? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
No, the cat can get down out of the tree. Like, they can't. They can.
They're very good at climbing. They're not good at getting back down. Apparently, it's high up.
How high?
How high is it, Jade? Can I show you? Yeah, show me.
I can't leave it up there. He's not coming down. Then get a ladder.
Well, that's not that high.
It ain't going nowhere.
Branch. It can go down that branch, hop down. That cat's fine. That cat is at the ultimate perch. I'll tell you what. I'm going to be done here in about 20 minutes.
In an hour, if it's not down, we have to call the 7 days a week Oregon Humane Society Rescue Hotline.
Sure. Bet. You let a monster in here. I mean, if you want. Okay.
It's stuck. It's just loafing on the branch.
It's okay. We'll get it figured out. Great Star Wars.
Cats, fuck. Baby. Don't worry. That won't make it into the final cut. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily all needed, but I enjoyed that insight, even if it was majority of the episode in an 8-episode season. I thought it was cool.
It was a cool downshift. It was cool to like this is a whole different beeline subplot. Yeah, I'm curious to see how it makes its way. I think it's going to converge with Moff Gideon and Aliyah kind of bringing those two worlds back together.
And that is when we heard them say, you know, when he was like, I just didn't expect to see anybody from Gideon's ship here. And they're like, you worked for Gideon? And then that we heard the other two guys. One guy said, I heard that he escaped on his way to the War Tribune. Mm-hmm. Tribunal. And the other guy was like, no, that was the cover story. You know, I heard they hooked him up to a mind flayer.
Yeah.
And then it cut over to Aliyah and Pershing talking, and they were still chattering about something, but you couldn't really hear what they were saying in the background. Right. And so, like, that was, like, a little insight to, we know that it is public rumor or knowledge that Gideon never made it to prison. Whether it was they killed him or if he escaped. Either way, he's not in prison right now. He's somewhere else. And so, like, he's very much probably going to show up, you know, and with all of those ties that we saw in the beginning earlier in the episode, I think it all leads itself to Gideon in the end.
Do you think, to tangent very quickly, do you think that the Mandalorians could try to recruit the help of the New Republic if Imperial forces were to come to Mandalore, kind of siege of Mandalore style? Because if that's the case, we could get introduced to, like, Hera, which would be kind of cool. Like, that's the kind of setup I'd like to see for Ahsoka, like a, not soft pilot, but, like, give me a Hera, give me a, what's her name? The chick from,
Sabine?
No, the chick from, Battlefront 2.
Oh.
Iden Versio,
yeah. I don't think that they're going to, with Ahsoka being here in fall, right, or end of summer, early fall, I can't imagine them not setting it up. Like that's just what they do. They set up the next thing. Yeah. You know, granted, Andor wasn't set up, but Andor is not a part of the Mandoverse. Right. Everything that's Mando, Filoniverse stuff is tied together somehow.
Yeah.
And whether it be a 5-minute cameo or an end credit scene or an entire episode, they're going to tie it in. So I think if they are tying Thrawn to Gideon, and there's going to be a Mandalorian versus, you know, Imperial Remnant, which will be either Gideon or Thrawn, if not both, then they will probably tie in Ahsoka in a way of it being Ahsoka showing up with Hera and Sabine, or maybe just Hera, or maybe Sabine and there's going to be, or all three of them or whatever, you know, it's like, it's going to be some sort of tie-in, even if it's for a few minutes. Now, I don't think the Mandalorians will seek out the New Republic's help, But if word gets to the New Republic that the Imperial Remnant is on Mandalore trying to fuck people up, New Republic is going to do some shit. And that also might be a way of like tying in the whole story of Leia and her resistance, because if they keep Bloodlines canon, if they're going to use that, because we know there's a precedent already for them having canon stuff and then retconning it. Selective canonization. That's a good word to use. It's you know, she ends up having to, granted, it's not till five. Oh, that's actually right about the time period we're in right now. You know, actually, it's probably even later, but Leia's doing stuff like that. And so it could just be like, here's the blossoming of the resistance as Senator Leia Organa is in charge of the New Republic military or whatever it is that Mon Mothma allowed her to do. And so there could just be a whole bunch of things that they could just tie into one spot. I don't foresee, I can't imagine that they would bring the New Republic in. But if they were going to do something like that, I could see the New Republic coming in. But I can't see the Mandalorians asking them for help. Especially with the way that they, like, the lack of trust. The last time there was a group of, I mean, they fought alongside the Republic, but they also fought against the Republic at one point, didn't they? And they also fought against the Empire.
They fucking fought everybody.
They fought everybody.
They fought the Jedi. Nobody. They fought the Republic. They fought the Empire. Themselves. They fought themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did mention, we did get a little a mention of Concordia in one of these episodes.
We sure
I don't know if that was just a little Easter egg or if they plan on
probably
showing us what Concordia looks like right now. But yeah. And then the next episode we get to find out that Paz Vizsla has a kid.
You like that meme I sent you?
That was a pretty good meme.
Paz Vizsla has a kid. Does that mean he fucks with his helmet on?
Yeah. And I was like, no, their kink is that they turn the lights off and they take their helmets off and they get off on the fact that they could open their eyes and see each other. But that, and then there wasn't a whole lot to the Foundling. It was just a lot of Bo-Katan being the party leader in the search for this pterodactyl that stole Paz's kid. And it went a long way of showing, like, you know, despite, even though they haven't really, they haven't explored the tension between House Vizsla and House Clan Vizsla and Clan Kryze, with Paz telling her when they're at the base of the mountain, when they make camp, that you are the hunting party lead. You get the honor of sitting by the fire while we all go elsewhere to take our helmets off to eat. Yeah. And like, that shows that the creed is more important than any history. And I think she recognizes that. And
she also saves his son.
And it's like, and this could lend to your hope of it being the former, what we were talking about earlier, of her like adopting these old ways and like being a part of them. Because, yeah, it could very well be that she wanted the power and she wants the mythosaur. Because she does in this episode when she's getting the pauldron, she asks,
just about
she
to say this.
Yeah, she's like, can I have a mythosaur head, please? She's like, well, it's every Mandalorian walks the way of the mythosaur, so of course it's allowed for everybody. And then she's like, well, what if I told you I saw one? And I saw a meme, and I don't know if you posted or sent it to me, or if I just saw it, but it was like that, the meme template of the young lady helping the old person. And it said, and it had Bo's head on the old person and then armor. Know. And it was like,
sure. You saw
it. Yeah. I saw a mythosaur alive. Sure. You did, Bo-Katan. Now let's get you back to bed or whatever. It was so funny.
I love that. I haven't seen that, but that's fucking funny.
Yeah. But it's funny. Cause yeah, she's like, you know, I saw one and the armor is like, you know, every Mandalorian gets visions. She's like, no, I saw a real one. She's like, okay. You know,
well, and this kind of feeds into what you were just saying about like, it could be unity, right? Like, what's the point of clans, right? What fuck Clan Vizsla and Kryze based on your family? There are no other Kryzes. She had a brother at some point that I guess hasn't been mentioned. Bo-Katan and Satine did.
Yeah.
But there's also like, how many Vizslas are there left? probably not a lot. What's the point of, like, I'm a 2 or 3 person clan, like the Night Owls or clan, whatever, when we could all just, that's kind of the, her literally saying, like, we're just Mandalorians now. Like, why, mm-hmm. why fracture it? Why have these, like, we could just all be under this? Because it was very much, do you want a Night Owl emblem? She's like, can I instead have that? And mm-hmm. It could be that, and it could also just be like, I'm gonna ride that fucking thing.
Well, I think it's so both. I think it's like, you know, the armorer knows that she was loyal to her people, the Night Owls, and so she asks if she'd like another Night Owl. And then Bo is so used to there's the red cameo, or is that Fitch?
It's red.
That's red. That's definitely red.
Fitch is sleeping right there.
Fitch is conked out over there. But yeah, so, you know, and she's like, can I have the Mythosaur? And it's like, of course you can, because why wouldn't you? We're all following the Mythosaur, essentially. And that's when she kind of starts to realize, I think, that, oh, these people aren't, they're not worried about where you came from. They're just worried about whether or not you're here with us now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, really good. Like, she's got a conflict going on. What does she want to do? What does she want to do? Does she want to go out and be, you know, riding a Mythosaur and separating everybody, or does she want to bring everyone together? And mm-hmm. I think we're going to see that. And I think it was cool, like, they got those raptors, the baby raptors that just, I don't know how they fit all of those in her fucking ship, dude.
I have no idea either. I was like, that ship ain't that big, bro. After they killed the mom, I'm like, those poor babies, or the dad, or whatever. Poor fucking babies, which I guess they didn't kill, the alligator killed after they bound it up.
Which was... like when I was like Jurassic Park, you know, in the first episode or whatever, that was 100% from Jurassic World, dude.
or there's always a bigger fish, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Or like, yeah, then they brought out what Mike told me at the end of the first Jurassic World movie when we saw it. He said, just to prove that everything is always scarier in the water.
Yeah.
Like, it's always that scarier in the water.
Big ass thing, dude.
Yeah.
Great, great flicks. And I like how she's like, oh, we have 3 more foundlings.
Yeah.
Wham, bam.
Yeah, and now they're going to have these raptors that can fly around on, you know?
Yep. More things to tame and ride, and it's an mm-hmm. arsenal for this growing clan. Yeah. And I think the last thing we have to touch on as far as the foundling goes is Grogu's vision when the armor is crafting his little plate. We get mm-hmm. that same kind of style from season 1 when she's crafting Mando his shit, and he's getting the flashbacks to the Clone Wars and the Mandalorian saving him as a kid. We get the same kind of thing, and we get Grogu basically in his little egg, and then all the Jedis are dropping around him, and he ends up in the elevator. Literally, they're blasting him as the elevator doors are closing. He goes up to another floor, and it's Ahmed Best as soon as it opens, which mm-hmm. he looked fucking good.
So
gold laced robes, bro. Like, and he was fucking flinging lightsabers around, and he killed I don't know how many fucking clones. A lot of clones, bro.
A lot of clones.
Bad ass shit.
It was so that whole fucking who saved Grogu question.
Yeah.
Like, I know we were talking like, oh, it was Yoda, it was whoever, right?
Yeah.
To know that, like, it makes my Star Wars fan heart happy knowing mm-hmm. that even though it's a character that we never heard of, Kelleran Beck, right?
Yeah.
That Ahmed Best, after all the shit that he went through from Phantom Menace, he got to be playing the Jedi who saved Grogu. Ugh. As soon as the doors opened, bro, I was like, Jar Jar!
It's like poetry. You know? It rhymes. It's beautiful.
Dude, it's so good. I'm so happy for him. And I'm happy for the story too, because
he's out here killing. He's posted ever since that happened, bro. He's posting pictures on Instagram like yoked as fuck, talking about like he was training for to be a Jedi master and shit.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is my Jedi, bro. This dude is he's my fucking master. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
I'm with it, and it's super sick. And like, that's the kind of character too. This Jedi, I guarantee you, we're going to see this motherfucker in comics, like with a. What's her name, the library chick or something, where it's just like they're not gonna kill off this did he die? He didn't die, did he?
No, if I remember correctly, they had that dope ass speeder bike chase through the Coruscant, sidecar. And then he dropped them off with the ship, and I think he was defending, but I don't know. I'll have to go back and look. I don't remember if he got killed or not. I hope he didn't, because it'd be cool to see.
God, him. I hope. I would love to see him more. You say, and if anything, just to like kick it with Ahmed, because it's like you said, it's dope that like through all the bullshit, unnecessary bullshit he went through as somebody involved with Star Wars, that like it's just fucking applause for this motherfucker now.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
It'd be the same thing getting like a Jake Lloyd or something like that too, where it's just
yeah, kind of 20
years down the road getting a fucking Rose Tico cameo or something, you know, where it's like, hell yeah, okay, she back, baby.
Yeah, I feel bad for her too.
I feel bad for all of them. Like, it's horrible. Like, fucking assholes. But yeah, it's good Star Wars feeling.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Put me right in my feels. Made my heart full. I was like, big ups to you, Ahmad Best. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was cool as shit. But yeah, we saw Grogu get handed off to somebody else, and then the cruiser speeds off, which at first I thought was, Padme's at first. I thought it was like a royal, you know, Naboo cruiser, and I was like,
I did too. Yeah. Nubian.
What is that? Yeah, Nubian. Yeah. But then I saw they obviously showed it wasn't, but
different fin styles and shit.
Yeah. But it was definitely some sort of like royal guard of some kind, or some sort of
chromed
bodyguard.
Out,
yeah.
Sleek,
maybe just loyal to the Jedi or something. But
it looked Nabooian. Like, they looked like Naboo guard with their, like, what's his name? Captain Panaka or whatever.
Yeah, it definitely looked like that. That's what I thought at first.
You gotta think this is also 20 years later or whatever, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess not. How old is 19 Anakin was when this happened? So this is like 10, 12 years later? 10 years later.
Oh, you're talking about
the events of Order 66 versus the Phantom Menace.
Oh,
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years 10 later. Years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
9
I was
to
like,
19.
I was so confused. I was like, what? But yeah. It's like, it's about 10. Yeah. But yeah, man. No, I think I love the direction that it's going. I'm excited. I'm excited for every Wednesday. And I know we didn't talk about it, but I mentioned to you is like, I'm excited for Bad Batch to come out too. We haven't talked about it, but like Bad Batch has been putting out bangers pretty much ever since Mandalorian dropped. Like, two episodes ago was a little like, I was a little about like the first half, but like got me in the second half. You know what I mean?
I think ever since the episode that premiered alongside the premiere with Bad Batch, or not Bad Batch, Mando, they've just been fucking bangers, dude. Every single one. I'm not saying they weren't before that, but like, I think you and I were even talking about this, where like, we should do the Topher Grace cut of the Bad Batch, of like, just trim off the fat that people complain about so that we can dissect the really good bits, the bits that people want, and put them in a
congruent. That's what I said to you, was like, they could have probably, I said I could probably cut out 80% of what they've released so far and still tell the same story but have it more riveting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, but all of the Crosshair stuff has been great.
So good.
Like, such good storytelling.
Yeah. I love it. And we're going to dive more into Bad Batch on next week's episode. This week we wanted to focus on Mandalorian, not spit out six reviews of shows. So this next week we're going to drop 4 episodes of Bad Batch review, right? The 3 that we're backed up on now,
we'll
the one that comes out this
story
week,
where it's at,
and then
so
we'll
far.
Also we'll also touch on this week's episode of Mando next week as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hell yeah!
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Other than that, I know it's kind of late, but like, I want to do a weekly intake update. I'm in Dragon Ball Z so deep, bro.
Yeah.
I'm in it, like. I went back and like I realized I'd kind of fallen asleep during some of the DBZ, and it just kind of played out. So I went back to where like Piccolo and Goku teamed up against Goku's brother in like episode like 5 or 6, and like Piccolo shooting the beam through his brother and hitting Goku too, and like, but they know Goku's gonna come back with the dragon. It's such good shit, bro. And Dragon Ball Z is so different than Dragon Ball. Other than that, what am I hitting? I'm still on my anime bullshit. I've been reading a lot of manga too. I've been reading Chainsaw Man after I watched the anime. What else? Persona 5, Jujutsu Kaisen, all that good shit. So
nice.
Yeah. I've been consuming such good content. Just good shit, bro. Happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've been watching Star Wars, playing COD.
Hell yeah.
Playing
Hell
Battlefield yeah. 2042.
Oh.
I missed Battlefield, man. Like, really? I've always been a Battlefield guy since I started gaming on PCs. Just always. And when 2042 launched, it was like really buggy, and I was like, I'm not getting it. But it was on sale.
There you go. And isn't so, it? Don't they have it on the EA Game Pass? Yeah,
found that out after.
Which I have. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have the base, like account for EA Play, you can play it for free.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Because I do Game Pass Ultimate, which includes EA Play.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And didn't realize that until after I got it on Steam. But that's fine.
I got a Nintendo Switch, so I beat Super Mario Odyssey. I'm about to get Breath of the Wild and try to work my way through that before the next Zelda game comes out here in a few weeks. I don't have a system to play the new Fallen Order game. Jedi Survivor. I don't have a new console, and like I could get it on PC, but I'm not going to.
Right.
So,
yeah, I probably won't get that for a little bit yet still.
So you're going to have to hold off on reviews for that probably here a little bit. I'm not going to go buy a PS5 just to play it.
Yeah, I'm in the process of a move right now, and mm-hmm. I will be moved out next weekend. So when we talk, next time we talk, I'll be in my new place.
Hell
and
yeah.
But my roommate there, he has a PS5, so I'll probably end up just getting it for his PS5 and playing it if he doesn't already have it. So.
Right on. Well, maybe you can do little mini segments where you review it or talk.
No, I'll just hold off on it because we know how long it took me to beat the last one, man. That took me like 3 years to get through that game. So ain't no worries about having to drop reviews on it right away. Mando's still going strong. So we'll need something to talk about in between Mando and Ahsoka.
Bet. All right. Well, you can find us on Instagram at TheirOnlyLegends, Reddit at r-TheirOnlyLegends, and TikTok at TheirOnlyLegends. You can send us an email, TheirOnlyLegends@gmail.com, and you can leave us a fucking voicemail, damn it, on Anchor. Check our link in bio for all that info. You can also drop a donation in there if you're feeling generous. We don't have any kind of Patreon or anything like that yet. We also have merch coming. Okay, so just hang tight. We're getting all that set up. We've been busy, baby. We've been busy. Yeah, we're working, but in case you can't tell by our sporadic release schedule, but all in all,
it's been pretty sporadic, but great Star Wars content coming out. If you want to support your boy, go follow Dirty Mo Media, DirtyMo Media mm-hmm. on Twitter and Instagram. Every week coming out with a new about a minute long song, rap song about the NASCAR race that had happened that weekend prior. And after a little conversation I had with a couple of the higher ups there, sounds like I'm going to have my own page for it soon. So as soon as that happens,
hell yeah.
I'll let y'all know what that's called. It's probably just going to be Tyler Gray's Race Rewrap because that's what the title is called. But yeah, you know, even if you're not into NASCAR, if you don't like rap music, just give it a follow. Give it a like.
Support help your boy out. Listen, you know? Drop a like, comment.
It's going,
I'm posting
it's going
those
well.
To our stories too. So
yes, you can find them on the Their Only Legend stories, usually Mondays. Mm-hmm. If not Mondays, Tuesdays. If mm-hmm. not Monday or Tuesday, it ain't coming out that week. That's the cutoff.
sure.
But yeah, we appreciate you guys sticking with us and listening to us ramble about the shit that we love, man. And
yes, sir.
Hopefully we stick to it every week, right? Every week.
We're good, no, man. We got kidding. Bad Batch coming out.
We got
guys,
Bad
so
Batch
good.
Coming up.
We're good. We're back in it.
As crazy. Always, everybody, we love you. We appreciate you. And may the Force be with you.
Peace, everyone.